And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Yo, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Happy to be with you on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video in studio as well. Facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Happy to be with you. It is a Hub Day. It is a Wolves Midweek Day. It is FSA. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, some Northern State men's basketball talk, as we'll be joined in studio with the starting, I guess you call him a small forward. Some would call him maybe a guy on the wing, perhaps. I mean, positions are what they are. They're kind of flexible, I guess, in basketball, certainly nowadays anyway. I'd call him a switchable. Buzz Williams used to call a lot of Marquette guys switchables. But anyways, Ethan Russell, he'll be joining us live in studio coming up towards the bottom of the hour. And then coming up in about 15 minutes, we're talking some Northern State track and field with the pole vaulter, Eli Radke. Got a lot of E's here today. Got Ethan Russell and Eli Radke joining us. He'll be joining us on the phone line in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the show. But first and foremost, I jettison over to my compatriot. He is Matt McClure. Happy Wednesday, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. I'm not doing too bad. Wednesday, getting over that hump, and NSIC conference road opener tomorrow, NSU and Moorhead. Looking forward to that doubleheader there. I'm feeling a little bit better. I think I sound okay.
Yeah, you sound good.
I sound a lot better, I think, than Monday. Monday was a struggle, let me tell you. Especially with you being gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had to kind of solo that show a little bit. I mean, I get it. You know, you've got your busy time and what have you. But if there was a time to not have a sore throat,
it was that Monday.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that Monday was a bit of a battle. But you know, thoughts and prayers from the listeners.
Yeah, we were listening on my dad and I when we were on the way to the airport. We listened to a little bit of it on Monday. We caught the back half. It sounded like Jay joined you over the phone there on Monday.
Yeah. We were like, God, this guy sounds like crap.
No, I couldn't even tell.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take that as a compliment. I'll certainly take that as a compliment. But, yeah, our thanks to Jay for kind of helping out there a little bit and talking some Aberdeen Wings hockey. It's been a very, very good start for the Wings, certainly, and they're back in action down south in, I think it's Mason City. Mason City, Iowa is where the North Iowa Bulls are there. So a couple of big matchups for them against a program that's 9-11. Talking about the Bulls there, that's on Friday and Saturday, 7:10, I believe, on Friday, and then 6:30 on Saturday. And that's kind of a nice thing. They have that puck drop a little earlier there on Saturday. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, I guess also North Iowa, I mean, 9 wins, 9-11, that might be close to the mark they had last year. So not a probably a little bit better of a team than in years past, or at least last year.
Yeah, I mean, the Central Division is no slouch. I believe that's good for sixth place in the conference, 9-11, which is just an eyelash under 500. I mean, it's not like they're 1-17. You know, this isn't just, hey, let's just roll the puck out and we're just going to roll these dudes. No, it's a pretty decent team. 9-11, a couple games under 500 there a little bit, and they're going to be tested, no question. But the Central Division has always been good, but this year it's on one.
Yeah, and looking at North Iowa this year, they were 11-46-2 last year. Only 24 points, so what? You're already nearing that win total already with 9-11. But, yeah, I mean, you got to bring it every night, it seems like, or every weekend in the Central Division, because if not, you have an off night, well, you can get beat.
Broadcasters and coaches say that all the time. Oh, there's no such thing as just, you know, it's you can roll it out here. It's like, yes, there is. Believe me, I've called play-by-play enough in my life where if you basically say, if we show up, we're going to beat this team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches will never tell you that. But maybe if you get them to a quiet moment, they'll say, yeah, this team isn't very good.
Yes.
The Central Division is not like that. Everybody can beat everybody. There's no two ways about it. And the same thing is true for the NSIC, regardless of sport. And we've seen it in volleyball. We've seen it in football and basketball alike. So looking forward to that as conference play officially really kind of gets underway. And I think the schedule makers did Northern as well as Moorhead a solid for tomorrow, as the Wolves, on the women's side in particular, both are coming back from Hawaii. Both teams were over in Hawaii.
Moorhead, too.
They didn't play each other, certainly, but you can't use that as an excuse, like, oh, well, we're jet-lagged after a long road trip or flight or whatever. Well, the other team has the exact same thing. So Moorhead, they were over there. Northern was over there. It might be kind of sloppy earlier. We'll see. But I think that's a really good thing that both teams are coming from Hawaii, and I think it's going to be kind of down and dirty there a little bit, a lot of defense.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some struggles offensively. Golf clap to the schedule makers on that one, because you know you can't use that as an excuse either if you're Morehead or, in this case, Northern State. It's going to be a little bit tougher because you know NSU's got to go on the road playing in a tough environment at Morehead, but I'm with you, too, because I think you're going to see a low-scoring game there on Thursday tomorrow, and it's going to come down to, you know, which team can rebound better and which team can defend. I think those are going to be keys to the game there for tomorrow.
And those are two check pluses in the category of Northern State last year when they played each other just one time. That was back at the Barnett Center. We call him the Cobra. He, of course, is
Mr. Unlimited.
And this is The Jump on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Special shout-out. We give shout-outs from time to time. I say he's going to be the future, maybe president or governor, who knows. Connor Libous, big shout-out to him. He's 22 today, so a friend of the program, the Libous family, friends of the program there. So I just want to give him a birthday boy shout-out.
Happy birthday there, Connor. And he threw a comment under the tweet this morning. Can't miss episode. Is that a little bit more pressure on us then to deliver?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we just like, don't screw it up. It's like, you guys already screw up enough, but now we got the Libouses listening. Oh, my
can't,
gosh.
Can't, you know, got to be ready to roll when you see something like that, right?
No question about it. And speaking of ready to roll, I know there is one broadcaster out there that's always ready to roll. It could be St. Mary's School for the Blind and Visually Impaired against this team, against that squad. Doesn't matter who's playing. Gus Johnson is always dialed in.
Yes.
Gus Johnson is always dialed in. Now, he had the play-by-play of Michigan against Ohio State here this last weekend, and I'm not exactly a closeted Ohio State fan, but I root for them because Marquette doesn't have a college football team. So I kind of root for Ohio State. A lot of my family, my dad's side is from Ohio. I had a lot of family that went to Ohio State, so I kind of root for them. And they laid in another clunker against Michigan for one reason or another.
Four straight,
yeah. They really have not played well against Michigan. Harbaugh's gone, but the losses still remain. Ryan Day might be on the hot seat there a little bit. But Gus Johnson always brings the heat. Do you know where I'm going to play right now?
I think I do.
Oh, my goodness. Gus Johnson, there was a play down the stretch. There's about 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Michigan is knocking on the door. They've got a first and goal at the Ohio State, looks like 3-yard line. And a throw into the end zone gets intercepted, and Gus Johnson brings the heat. Let's go.
Warren looking, and it's intercepted at the goal line. Unbelievable. Wow, Jack Sawyer, the hero, Captain Jack.
Oh, man.
Mid lost his voice in the middle of that, which makes it even better.
Yes. I just love me some Gus Johnson. We don't really talk a whole lot about other broadcasters on the air from time to time. Every once in a blue moon, we talk a little Paul Allen and others. But, man, Gus Johnson brings the heat regardless of what the game is. And it almost sounded like he was about to cry there a little bit.
Yes,
like,
it did.
Just like he's so juiced up. He's so happy. But you know something? If you're a Michigan fan, he'd do the exact same thing if Ohio State threw an interception into the end zone. He'd completely lose his mind, and it sounds like he's literally about to cry just of excitement.
Yeah, that I've listened to that a good 5 times since I saw it on social media. I didn't watch the game live, but I did see that, and if you're an Ohio State fan, I feel like you love Gus Johnson. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you're probably like, I'm sick of this guy because he really only does Ohio State games because he's with the Big Noon kickoff.
That's right.
And Ohio State's always playing on Big Noon. So he's almost kind of their broadcaster when you think of it. Now, I think there's a mixed emotion with Gus Johnson. I don't mind Gus Johnson at all. I think he's great. He brings the juice. I'm a fan. And that call's amazing. But you know, if you're not an Ohio State fan and you're listening to that, you're like, this guy's going way over the top for OSU. What's his deal?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like Gus Johnson. You know, I started sort of my broadcasting career, and you're like, oh, who do you listen to? And you talk to people all the time, and some people said Gus Johnson, and I was like, oh, yeah, I love me some Gus Johnson. That guy, you don't hear it as much, I don't think, but he used to do all the March Madness stuff with CBS.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think he does it anymore.
It's like a fill-in basketball broadcaster now.
Yeah.
He's only, it seems like, from what I'm hearing, is on that big noon Saturday.
Yeah.
On college football. I miss him in the NFL, too.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah. I'm a Gus Johnson guy.
He was always on the Jaguars-Texans games in the AFC South.
Oh, yeah.
He caught the one he called the one Hail Mary. Was it? Was it David Garrard, the Hail Mary?
Yes.
To the Jaguars?
Yes,
I remember
it was.
That call.
Knocked down. No, caught it. Oh! And I have to do that away from the microphone because if I do it into the mic, you know, it might be an FCC violation. But yeah, or the Brandon Stokely tip pass.
Yes.
Against the Bengals. I think it was week one, like 2012 or 2011 or something like that. Kyle Orton. Pass is tipped up. Stokely makes the catch, runs
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I remember
oh,
that
did
point.
Not caught Stokely. Oh, God, is he good. I love me some Gus Johnson, certainly. So we're a long ways away from baseball season, no question. But one team that was super-duper hot a couple years ago, they made it all the way to the World Series, was the Arizona Diamondbacks. And last year, kind of down a little bit, not as good of a season as the year prior. But get this, you can go to all Diamondbacks games this upcoming year. You can get your tickets for $299. Ticket package is $299 for all home games there for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That's a steal.
So if you extrapolate that out, Matt, it costs you $3.69 to attend every single home game. 81 home games.
Wow.
It's only $3.69. So, you know, for some people, you know, $299, you know, that's a pretty big expense for a family, you never know. But that's pretty good if you think about it.
Listen, I'd be all over that if I was living in Arizona as a single guy. All over that, 100%. And to your point, Arizona Diamondbacks, they're actually a pretty decent team. That comes as a big surprise for me. They went to the World Series two years ago, they were right in the mix to make the playoffs and missed it. But it's not like it's some bad team. It's not like that's White Sox tickets.
No.
That's a pretty good division in the Central. You get to see some good teams. I'd be all over that if I lived in Arizona. $3 a game. I would have saw that, immediate buy. I would have texted my dad first, hey, what do you think about this? He'd say, do it, and then I would have done it.
He'd say, I already bought him. Matt, I already bought him, like, the other day. So, yeah, it's a pretty good deal. Pretty much a steal, if you will, and good stuff there. For
and,
all.
Hey, you could maybe sell
yeah.
a couple of games that you don't go to. I mean, you're not going to go to all 81. You know, I think a good seat. If you bought that, you got to be a true fan and B, probably go to 20 to 25 games, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
I'd say 20 to 25 games. Maybe you could sell a couple and make your money back.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad deal.
Maybe even make some.
Yeah.
Maybe even make some money if they
Depending
have a good team.
Where those seats are.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a big time steal. No two ways about it. All right, coming up towards the bottom of the hour, Ethan Russell, Northern State men's basketball, or Hooper, if you will. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Upcoming next, we're talking some track and field, Northern State style, with the pole vaulter, Eli Radke. He'll join us on the phone line. Coming up next, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Rocking and rolling on a Wolves midweek edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Some NSU men's basketball talk coming up towards the bottom of the hour. But first and foremost, ahead of the Northern State indoor season opener, talking some track and field with the pole vaulter. He is Eli Radke. He joins us on the phone line. Eli, thanks for taking some time out of your Wednesday. How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
Good to have you on the program, certainly, and happy Thanksgiving to you. And, yeah, we're definitely going to talk a whole lot of track and field and pole vaulting and all that good stuff and hear about you and back home and whatnot. But did you get a chance to head back home to Laverne, Minnesota there a little bit and have some family time and enjoy some Thanksgiving?
I did do that. I did indeed.
So what does that look like? A lot of turkey, Thanksgiving gravy? I mean, what's the go-to food order there?
We're not big turkey people. I think it's pretty overrated, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay. Yeah.
But, so we had ribs instead.
Yeah. What was that? Ribs?
Ribs.
Wow. Okay. So no ham.
No, not even ham.
Not even ham. That's kind of interesting. You know, I'll be honest with you. I think turkey is also a little bit overrated, but this year my mom made the turkey so well, I was just going all in on that. I was all about that life.
I was thinking, I was watching Sunday Night Football too, and Matt LaFleur, they asked him what he likes most about Thanksgiving. He said a ribeye, which I felt like was a hot take too.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Ah.
Hmm. I think we did something like that a couple years ago with just the wife and I because we don't feel confident enough to make the full bird.
Sure.
So I think we did some steaks a couple years ago, but that's neither here nor there. All right, well, happy Thanksgiving to you. And I reached out to Coach Dingman yesterday, and I was saying, you know, I'd like to talk with one of the student-athletes, and she recommended you because she said, hey, he's poised for a big season. So a little extra pressure for you this year, or why do you think Coach feels that, hey, you're ready for a huge year?
I mean, practice is going pretty well. I'd like to think that I'm a lot better than I was last year. So I think she's kind of recognized that. And
yes. So how's kind of the off season been for you this off season? Maybe then in years past, have you focused in on something specific? Is it just another year getting stronger? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, just another year of getting stronger and faster. It's a process, and you kind of figure things out later rather than sooner.
Yeah, certainly. We're talking with Eli Radke here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and you know, we talk about kind of the big three, certainly football, basketball, baseball, a lot around these parts, a lot of volleyball talk certainly here as well, but pole vaulting is not something we talk a whole heck of a lot about. So how does one get into pole vaulting? Was it something that maybe your parents kind of led you in towards, or maybe a high school coach? I mean, how does one even get into that?
Yeah, my sister did it when she was in the high school, so I was like, hey, might as well try it. And ended up being pretty decent. So
not afraid of heights or anything like that, apparently.
No, you're not. I don't know. Everyone's always scared about that, but not really me.
Okay. So how do you, I guess, is it difficult to run with the pole? Like, how do you pick up speed? You know, when you're running, you use your arms and things of that, but you got a pole that you're running with. How do you pick up speed in something like that?
Yeah, it's a little awkward when you're getting used to it, but, I mean, you just try to keep some momentum. You can kind of shrug your shoulders and bounce your arms to
When you start, are you in a three-point stance, or what's kind of a two-point stance? How does that all work?
No, you just start standing up.
Okay.
So you're literally just – I'm just sitting there waiting, and then I start, like, in the slow jog, and then I just build up speed.
Okay, gotcha. Eli Radke joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, Northern State pole vaulter there, the pride of Laverne, Minnesota, Laverne Public High School there. So walk us through your high school days as a pole vaulter. What was kind of the first time that you did it, and did you know that you were going to be good immediately? Obviously, you're a Division II athlete. You're pretty good at it. Did you realize that you are going to be, or did it take some time to build up to where you're at right now?
Yeah, I mean, I started in seventh grade. I wouldn't say I really thought I was that good for that long, but I went to a couple camps my freshman, sophomore, junior year, and I ended up coming to Aberdeen and talking to my now coach, Wade Royer, and I was a three-sport athlete, so, and my form was pretty bad, so he just knew that I was somewhat athletic, and that I could maybe figure some stuff out. And now I'm here.
So what other sports did you play then? You three sport, obviously track and field, but what were some of the other ones you played?
Yeah, I was basketball and football.
So did you kind of have to work on the more technical side of things when it comes to track? It kind of sounds like that's, you know, you said your form was a little bit off. So when you got into the sport, obviously, you had a little bit of success, but you had to work on some of those little technical form things, it sounds like.
Yeah. I was also a sprinter for track, too. So I didn't really have much time to figure out stuff. I was just kind of just going out there and trying my best.
Did they tell you to put the pole down while you're also sprinting? It's just like, hey, that's for the other one. That's for
yeah, yeah. Forget.
Eli Radke joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, pole vaulter there with the Northern State Track and Field Squad. So is there any crossover at all between football and basketball along with pole vaulting? I would guess maybe there's a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, or is it just, hey, athletes are being athletes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much. I mean, it's all about, yeah, athleticism. If you can run faster and jump higher, you're going to be better. So But as far as technical stuff, not really.
Mm-hmm. So kind of going back to like off-season training, you know, do you practice pole vaulting a lot during the off-season? Are you going to you know, tracks or wherever, and indoor facilities, and, you know, trying to beat a certain height or something like that? How does that kind of work out?
Yeah, off-season, I mean, I wouldn't say we really do much. We just run and try to get stronger, but it's kind of like on your own. Like, you can, if you want to come up here, like, sometimes I'll come up to Aberdeen and then get some stuff in, try to, like, keep some of my some ideas. But besides that, not much.
Yeah, it's like in basketball. I mean, you can shoot free throws and improve your shooting percentage and three-point shooting, and you know, man, I'm really struggling with my layups. Like, you get in the gym, you make more layups. Like, how does one even get better with pole vaulting? Is it more mental? Is it more just getting in the weight room and being, like you said, you being able to jump faster and run faster and jump higher anyway? So, like, how does one even improve in the offseason?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty much all the above. I mean, I think there is something to be said about visualizing. I mean, I can't say I do it that much, but a lot of people think that that helps a lot. But visualizing, getting stronger, I mean, there's some little drills you can do. I mean, if you rep out pull-ups, you're going to be a lot better off too, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's something I could never do, pole vaulting. It's just
I'm afraid of heights. I couldn't do it. No thanks.
Yeah, but, you know, looking at this season, you know, Tuke said, you know, hey, we want to – you know, let's talk to you about, you know, an upcoming big season. You know, do you have any personal goals coming into this year? Is it something that you really, you know, want to see from yourself this year than maybe from last year and things of that nature?
Yeah, so I want to at least go 16 feet this year. And then I also do the multi, so I want to at least place in that, maybe eventually go for a school record, but we'll see.
There you go. Looking forward to that as Eli Radke joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple more before we get you out of here, Eli, and I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule and joining us here. How do you like being on this team? I mean, it's kind of unique. Track and field is a very, very team-oriented sport, but it's also very individualized as well. What's it like being on this team and a lot of close friendships, I would imagine?
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently a roommate with three guys that are on the track team. So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a different animal compared to, like, because I mean, I played football and basketball, but it's a whole different thing. It's, I don't know, it's very unique. I'll say that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's, you know, I mean, I played football, I played basketball, baseball, those kinds of sports. Track and field, you know, I just not a good runner or jumper, those kinds of things. It's sounds like to me that it's a little bit more individual, but it's not, because you're a part of the team, and you know, you mentioned you live with a couple guys, so there is that still team camaraderie, right, when it comes to track and field. Although, you know, you're going for personal bests in a certain event, there is still that team aspect to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of support based, like, team is more, and like, what your most teamwork you're going to get is in practice, because, you know, if I'm talking trash in practice and trying to make the other guy better and myself better, it helps both of us, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about that. And pre-match ritual, is it match or meet? I guess more accurately is a meet. But
it'd be like, yeah, meet.
Yeah. Do you have any pre-meet rituals? Is there a certain thing that you got to do? Maybe listen to a certain playlist or something like that, or maybe eat some ribs or something like that. And big ribs guy over there.
I don't think that would work.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. Oh, sorry, coach. My fingers are all sticky. I got all the ribs and the barbecue sauce all over there. But yeah. Pre-match rituals or pre-meet rituals? What's that kind of looking like for you?
I mean, drinking a lot of water. I try not to eat too much on meat days, but I don't know. I wouldn't say there's some people that are tried and true, like they stick to one thing but I don't know. I just kind of just show up and do it.
So you know, other superstitions then? We're big superstitions people on this show. That's why we ask the athletes. So. You know, I didn't have any really playing sports, but, you know, hearing some other people's are fun.
Yeah, I mean, there is, like, before every vault, I do, like, a routine. Like, it's basically, like, a free throw routine.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, two dribbles, spin the ball, and then shoot. It's, like, I take two steps back, look at the bar, and then I start running. Like, I don't know. It's kind of similar.
Sure. Yeah. No, whatever works out for you. And clearly it has. So continued success and appreciate you doing this. Happy holidays. Certainly. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the ribs for Christmas in a couple weeks. I'm sure maybe you'll do that again. But appreciate you popping in here on the show and good luck this season.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure for sure. Eli Radke here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5 ribs. Ribs for Thanksgiving, huh?
Yeah, that's something different. I've never heard that.
No, me neither.
But you know, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, if it has calories.
It's an excuse to eat ribs.
Yeah, I mean, if...
Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of ribs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ribs, turkey. I mean, I'm probably leaning towards ribs, but, you know, tradition.
Yeah.
Turkey.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I'd ever make the switch.
Yeah, he's not buying it. He's more of a ribs guy. Yeah, that's interesting. Can you imagine that? Like right before like his big vault or something like that, he's just got barbecue sauce all over his hands.
Hold up, Coach. I'll be there in
Sorry,
a second.
Sorry, Coach Royer. I got to get my little pre-meat or pre-vault routine in. Got to get some ribs in me. Good stuff. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some NSU men's basketball. Ethan Russell joins us in studio. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. It's 98.5 on the FM dial and 1420 on the AM dial. Our thanks to Eli Radke for joining us here on the phone line. Joining us in studio, Aberdonian Ethan Russell. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning. Doing well. How are you?
That's fantastic. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood and a beautiful day to be a neighbor. Is that Mr. Rogers?
I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
Just quoting Mr. Rogers here on the Sports Hub. You never know when that's going to happen.
Where's Mike Schmidt when you need him?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he would have been like, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Mike Schmidt. Hopefully he's enjoying his time being just a regular person. He always talks about that after the season.
Yes, he does.
It's like, oh, I got to go to weddings and stuff again. And being this, that, and the third. So shout out to a friend of the program, certainly. And happy Thanksgiving. We were just talking with Eli Radke there. He said he's a big ribs guy. On Thanksgiving, how was your Thanksgiving? What'd you do?
Thanksgiving was great. Last year we had the classic, so we had games and practice that weekend. But this year we had it off, so it was nice to spend some time with my family. Always got to get the good food in, and you know, it was just nice to take a couple days and you know, relax and then be right back in action.
I said the same thing. You know, there's something to be said about broadcasting and playing games and all that good stuff, and I love play-by-play, and you love playing, but there's something to be said about a little bit of downtime. Right around the holidays, right? Don't you kind of like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just always think about it. You know, the busy is what makes the downtime better. So it's just a good balance, and Thanksgiving is great. And, you know, with family, it's hard not to enjoy Thanksgiving.
No doubt.
On the flip side to that, though, is it difficult as a player? Like, hey, we're just getting the season started. Then you get a week off, and then you got to ramp it up again. Or is it kind of always go, go, go?
I mean, it's kind of go, go, go. We had the break with the games, but we were still having a lot of practices. And, you know, we got a stretch where we had 4, 5, 6 practices in a row there leading into Moorhead. So, you know, it was really good to get the reset with Thanksgiving and then be right back at it, getting ready for Moorhead and, you know, working on what we need to do to win.
Yeah, Moorhead tomorrow. We'll certainly talk about that, I'm sure. But we're talking off the air. Feels like you guys are really close. We've seen some great stretches where things are looking really, really good. Things are crisp on offense. You're playing great defense. Then there's a kind of a 3, 4, 5 minute stretch here and there. It's not quite clicking. So what's it going to take to kind of put that full, complete performance together?
Yeah, I think time is the only answer there. You know, like you said, we're really close-knit group of guys on and off the court, but we're just new. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are new to the program and a lot of guys that are new to the conference, and you know, it's just going to take some time to play together for that 40 minutes, but there's no doubt we have the talent in the room. So that's what Coach Phillips and everybody was working on this week, was just, you know, getting together and not having those lulls and keeping the energy up for the whole 40 minutes.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, team chemistry from what you just said has been pretty good. You mentioned it, you know, a lot of guys that coming in from different places, lost a lot of guys from the transfer portal. Has that been, you know, a difficult or a challenge at all? You know, just kind of you know, trying to get relationships with these new guys. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, you and Tukes were saying there, you guys are close. You feel like that chemistry's going pretty well.
Yeah, no, it was a tough spring, having a lot of different guys in, you know, maybe potential teammates. And then, you know, as the summer went on with, you know, it was just meeting guys for the first time. So that was fun. It was exciting. But, you know, as fall got closer, it was just really getting together as a group on and off the court and, you know, just trying to mesh. And I guess it was almost a surprise, but everything meshed really easily off the court with, you know, we got guys from all over the place. So that was it was kind of rare to have that connection right away. But, no, a lot of good guys and just really good connection.
Yeah, Ethan Russell here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen and filling out all the questionnaires. Feels like everybody is very close together. Now you guys have some Bible studies and those sorts of things. So kind of different this year in that regard. For you last year, you didn't play, you know, redshirt last year. I would imagine, I'm not a D2 athlete, but I'd guess that'd be tough. I mean, there were a couple times where you're getting kind of close to play. You go in the shoot-around lines on game day, but just not quite there. What was last year like for you to not even play, but you're just primed, you're ready to go?
I actually enjoyed it. You know, I just really tried to keep in mind to enjoy the process. And I think it was really beneficial to be around the team for a year and be able to get the access of, you know, the extra weight training, extra nutrition, the extra workouts because I wasn't playing. So I think that really helped physically. But just being around the team and, you know, for the games, you know, seeing what it takes. And I think that really helped get my mental side of the game right coming into.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because, you know, you hear a lot about the transition from, you know, the high school game. And, you know, we talk about it on this program. You know, you played a ton there at Aberdeen Christian. You were a great player. And then, you know, you go to Northern and you got a city year. You know, they ask you to redshirt and you do that. Was that difficult for you at all? Like, hey, I want to help the team in some way. You know, obviously you sat, but here you are this year and you're, you know, having a great start to the season.
Yeah, no, it was tough because played well all fall last year, and you know I kind of had the choice. Sat down with Coach Phillips, and we just kind of laid it out. You know how much I would play, what that would look like, and you know I had some health issues going on at the time, so I think it was just the right choice to redshirt. And you know we agreed on that it would be best to take the year off and just work on basketball outside of the game environment, and you know just coming to this year ready. So I think that just built some excitement because you know obviously like you said it's hard to sit back and watch. So
sure.
I was really ready to go coming into this year. Then
Ethan Russell on Fox Sports Aberdeen, day one. What was the first game like for you? A lot of butterflies, a lot of jitters, or not so much?
Down in Missouri or up here?
Let's go both.
Down in Missouri, it was. Like I said, I was just really excited. I mean, watching that last year, I was just trying to picture myself playing, and you know, I was really excited. I was ready to go, and same with the home game. I mean, we didn't play that well off the jump, but I mean, just being in Wachs Arena the first time is surreal. I guess playing there for the State Bees had kind of an idea. It's a similar environment. It's active and. You know, I just look forward to it my whole life. I mean, coming to the games here every weekend since I was a little kid. I mean, it's really hard not to be excited and come out with some juice. But, you know, just looking forward to get back in walks later this month.
For sure. And, you know, take us back to that Dakota State game. I believe that was the game where James Glenn had all those threes. First game at Walks Arena, you said you played there for the Bees at Aberdeen Christian and things of that. It's his first game there. He you know, has all those threes, you know, I forget how many points he had in that game. But
34 points, 8 out of 10.
Yeah, 8 out of 10 threes. So, you know, you look at that and you say, wow, first game at Wachs Arena, pretty good, huh?
Yeah, good introductory to Aberdeen for Mr. Glenn there. I think they're all excited to see him play now because you get a lot of people asking, oh, what's he like? How's he playing? You just see the stat sheets, you know, it's hard to put a name to a face, but He really had himself a good first one.
So why didn't you score 34 points and hit 8 out of 10 threes?
It was the James Glenn show that night. We let James do James things.
Yeah, you know, he was on for sure. And a nice win there against Dakota State. Now, Jamestown, a couple weekends ago, you guys fall short. They fell to Mankato by 5. Yep. So people are like, oh, you know, Jamestown, they're an NAIA school. And they can't be that good. They beat Augustana last weekend. They lose by 5 against the national champs. How cool is that going to be to see those guys again in a couple weeks down at Wachs Arena?
No, that's really exciting. I'm really excited that they're coming in the conference, and not just selfishly because the short travel, but I think that could be a good rivalry just right up the road. And yeah, they have a really good program. New coach brought the guys together really well, and they're doing some great stuff. I think they've beat three or four NSIC teams now, so they'll be striding in the conference next year.
Kind of a follow up there. What's it like seeing Spencer Barr up there and Malik Weaker? A couple of friendly faces. I'm sure those kind of neat, huh?
Yeah, it was exciting. We had this one marked on the calendar for a while. It was fun to play against those guys, and excited for next 16th, I guess. Yeah.
So now you guys go on the road, get ready for a Moorhead team. They're obviously a great program. What's kind of your outlook going into that matchup there tomorrow?
I mean, Coach Phillips said yesterday, I mean, he's huge on it's never as good as it seems, and it's never as bad as it seems. But, you know, right now it can seem kind of bleak with the record and all that. But, you know, the number one way to fix that, turn that all around, is with a win. So he's got a really good game plan going into Moorhead, and that's going to be a really hard one, you know, not to be excited for. So playing number seven team in the country, it's going to be hard not to bring the juice. So we got to play a good game, but I think we're really confident going in, and we've had some really good practices this week. So
yeah, looking forward to it. I'll have the broadcast for you right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Kind of some slower starts. You mentioned that against Dakota State, you guys finished really strong. You finished really strong against Mary last week, even though you fell up a couple points short. Mm-hmm. What's it going to start to take to maybe get off to some faster starts? You know, not necessarily being up 28-9 or something like that, but maybe some faster starts to be kind of even, or maybe up a point or down a point.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we have a new group. It's a lot of that comfortability. You know, it takes a little while to settle in when you're not, I guess, used to that environment. It's hard to replicate a game environment, so even with the tough practices. So, you know, just focusing off the rip. And, you know, we worked on that a lot in practice, on, you know, starting intentionally with energy. And, you know, I think we'll come out well against Moorhead.
Yeah, it seems like you guys, like Tukes was saying, you guys battled really tough in that second half versus Barry. Was it just a regroup kind of thing in the locker room, or what do you think was the spark in that second half?
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, we kind of had a moment that, you know, we can't be doing this anymore. I mean, it's now's the time, you got to go, and it was the time. And we turned it on, we came up a little short, but, I mean, that just shows what we're capable of when we're focused on that, and, you know, that's the intent. So just really hope we can get more of that going forward.
Did you guys have ribs at halftime?
No ribs at halftime.
No.
That would be nice, though.
Do you guys get a chance to, like, obviously in the halftime session, you're going over notes, and Coach Phillips is making adjustments, in-game adjustments, certainly during the game, and then halftime adjustments, I'm sure. Or maybe that's just something broadcasters talk about a lot, I don't know. But, like, what do you guys actually talk about at halftime?
The coaches usually they have their separate meeting out in the hallway, and they let the players talk about what's going on for a little bit, and they polish their notes, and they come in and they do the adjustments. But, you know, it's a little half and half. You know, the players will tune into what they think too, and then coaches will lead with what they saw too.
All right, right on. Kobe, got any more?
I'm good.
All right, man. Thanks so much for popping in studio. Good luck tomorrow. We'll see you on the bus there, and looking forward to the matchup with the Dragons. Thanks for popping in studio.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Ethan Russell here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll come on back and wrap up this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub after this, minus the ribs. Couple of great guests here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, or at least one on the phone line and one on the studio side of things. Our thanks to Eli Radke for joining us on the phone, and Ethan Russell here in studio. And I think that's just it for the Northern State men, is people forget this is a not quite completely new, but it's like 85-90% new faces, and it's going to take some time. It's kind of like the Northern State football team this last year, or a couple months ago now. You start off 0-4, what the heck, the sky is falling, this, that, and the third. Hey, hold on, maybe a minute. We can just wait for our offensive coordinator, who's in his first year calling plays, and our brand-new quarterback. Maybe we can give these guys some grace, figure it out a little bit, and oh, by the way, you blink your eyes and you finish six of your final seven, and 6-5 overall, and 6-4 in conference, or 6-5, whatever it was, 6-4, I think. So, yeah, it's early. It's going to take some time. Patience.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you got to look at when you're talking about this men's squad. It's going to take some time. This is a brand new team from a year ago. I mean, we talked about JD and Jackson Mone all last year. I mean, those guys, Gus Reedy, I mean, those guys were huge contributors to the team from, you know, a scoring aspect. And, you know, I'll even take it back to the high school level when we were talking with head coach Brent Norberg, and he said, hey, we need guy. We're still looking for scorers. You know, we lost Spencer Barr, and they had to get guys filling the roles. So I think that's what you're seeing. Guys are trying to figure out their role on this this squad here. I think you're looking for more guys that can put the ball in the hole. Maybe somebody like, you know, Ethan Russell. You know, he's got the size. He's got the J. He had a, you know, a couple really nice games in there to start. But I think that's kind of what you want to see. You know, I think growth offensively. I think they're going to play hard. I've mentioned that from the start.
Yeah.
I saw that versus who they play first game of the season. I'm completely blanking on the exhibition game.
Oh, Dickinson, yeah.
Dickinson. But, you know, I just saw, like, there's a lot of that small effort, little plays that they make, loose balls on the floor, somebody's diving on it. They're going to make those plays. It's just, can you get the chemistry going offensively and find those guys that can score? I think that's going to be key.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think there's one thing, and I noticed this with head coach Phillips on our pregame show a couple weeks ago, there's not a lot of panic with this team. You know, kind of felt like last year, oh, we got to get a three up. We got to get a three up. There's not a lot of panic. And, you know, sometimes they're not going to win every single game, and certainly they're off to a slow start record-wise at 1-5, but there's not a lot of panic. And you take a look at the Dakota State game. They get down by 7 or 8 points. They just start taking it one possession at a time on offense, and defensively they kind of really lock it in. Saw the same thing against UMary. Now, they win one of those games, they lose the other, but this team is going to battle for a full 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're not always going to see the results after every 40 minutes, but I love the way they fight, and especially last week against UMary, you can pack it in and say, all right, we're going on to the ribs and Thanksgiving and all that good stuff, or we can, you know, kind of sink our teeth in here and battle back, and they battled back, and they're literally a Marcus Burks three away from the top of the key to taking the lead in that game, and who knows after that goes through, and he got a great look. And it just didn't fall. Like, that's basketball. You're going to make shots. You're going to miss shots. It's a make-or-miss game. Always has been. Always will be. So, yes, you don't like getting down by 19 points. I totally get that. But battling all the way back to trimming it down to 2 and having a wide-open look to take the lead, okay, it doesn't fall, and then you lose. Okay, you move on to the next game. That's the way it goes.
And I think you got to be thinking, chomping at the bit to get back on the floor. You had a lot of time off. He mentioned a lot of time, I feel like, to kind of see what went right, what went wrong in that time, and really focused on that at practice. And now you go into number 7's place in Moorhead, and, you know, you really don't have a lot to lose in this situation. You can kind of play free, and guys are going to be excited to get out and play. You could practice for so much, it gets old. I mean, it's just how it is. These are, you know, 18 to 22-year-old kids. You know, they want to play against an opposing team instead of against each other. It was great to probably have that time off to really get a nice game plan together. I won't be surprised if they compete hard tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that matchup, certainly. Don't forget, ladies first, gentlemen second. That'll be right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Pregame coverage begins at 5, and tip-off is slated for 5:30 for the ladies there in particular. Also, by the way, we're looking at the top 25 rankings here, and Ethan was like, I couldn't remember if there were 8 or 7. Well, guess what? There's 7 this week. They were 8 last week. But the rest of the conference is really, really stacked in the NSIC. I'm not breaking any news with that. As you've got Duluth, that's currently in the number 11 spot right now. You've got SMSU, currently 18th in the country. Minot State is 20th in the country. And oh, by the way, a couple of squads that are receiving votes. You've got Winona State as well as Wayne State. There's as well a couple programs that are receiving votes. And oh, by the way, I'm looking up and down and left and right. Where's the defending national champs? Where's Mankato? They're not in there. They're 4-4 right now, MSU Mankato is, and believe me, they're not pressing the panic button at all because they know how good they are, and they're going to be picking up some wins, no question about it, come conference play, which kind of gets into full bore, but I mean, they're 4-4 right now, so people are like, oh, Northern's not off to a great start. Okay, fine, but look at the defending national champs. They went from preseason number 1 to unranked right now.
Yeah, unranked, and they've lost now 4 games to ranked opponents. So they haven't really played against – they played a tough schedule, but they haven't beaten those teams that have been ranked. You know, you mentioned, you know, Florida Southern, they're 19. North Georgia, who they played, they're number 9. Washburn's 10. They lost to Southwest, who's, you mentioned, 18. So, I mean, they haven't gotten off to the start that they'd like, and it just goes to show that you got to bring your A game in this conference. If not, you can get beat. And, you know, that's cliche, but in this conference in men's basketball, it's the truth.
And you know what? There's no panic for them.
No.
Nor should there be. We won the whole thing last year. We're going to be fine.
Yes.
That's what fan bases need to understand. Things will be okay. Just have some patience.
Patience is a virtue,
patience,
man.
Patience is a virtue. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. We're back at it tomorrow.